This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm in the studio. I have two Robs with me, which is really interesting, actually. The fact that I know two people named Rob, that's just cool.
Time
will tell how interesting that is.
Our life easier.
Welcome, guys. So it's Halloween month, and I thought we would talk. I call it Halloween. It's like Christmas for me. I'm like,
this is the holiday.
This is the month of Halloween, which I've mentioned before, my family hates me because all I do is put on horror movies in the living room, and they're like afraid to come downstairs. They're like, what's happening in there? I'm like, it's fine. I'll just turn them, mute it. Just come in.
Why is
Don't
that
worry.
Woman screaming, mommy?
Yeah. Like, what is a lot of screaming and dark music, and it's only 10 a.m. So why are you doing that?
Well, I think, can we agree that Halloween has the best movies, Christmas has the best music? I think that is the handle.
I could
there.
Agree with that. Yeah. I could agree with that. Poor Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. But I feel like I'm in the, I'm with people that get this.
Absolutely. It is a 24/7. I told you, this year, my kids are finally of age where we can watch films together that are a little bit, kind of push the boundaries a little. And we've been going around the world with horror. So
we've been watching horror films
from around the world. It's been really, really fun to be able to talk to them about the culture and why they think it's scary and, you know, J-horror. And just, it's just really cool because they're starting to grasp it. They're starting to get those, you know, those deeper concepts of the movie. So that's
I think
cool.
I need to come to your house and watch some.
It's super fun. I've got a list.
Do you?
Too many subtitles for me. I can't do
well,
that.
Well, I'm going to introduce. So I have Rob Waters and Rob Rector, the two people that literally are saving Halloween for me, as I've mentioned before, because I don't know what Halloween is going to be, but you guys
not
are
great.
You guys are saving it because you're doing this festival at Hudson Fields. If you guys want to talk, you can introduce yourselves and do a little promo for this if you want, real quickly.
Waters.
Rector. Doctor, doctor.
I can do the dun, 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 da, da, dun, dun. Go ahead.
We gotta get a good fade in here. Come on, man. Let's do this right.
I can add the music later if you like.
We're doing This Is Halloween at Hudson Field, a fundraiser for BB, and it is a loaded event.
No kidding.
I had to go on another show, and it was like it took 20 minutes just to get in all the things that are going
on. Did
it
really?
Yes.
I'm super psyched, man. I have to tell you.
Music, trick-or-treating, food. You name it. We're trying to pack it full.
Parades.
Yeah.
There's a parade?
There's a costume parade.
Oh, my God.
So
from what I understand, last time you guys did Jaws Fest, and the main event is the movie, mm-hmm. sort of, but mm-hmm. which was Jaws. And so this time you guys are doing a double feature, from what I understand.
We are.
October 25th.
October 25th, Hudson Fields, the 52-foot screen. Is that correct?
I think so.
It's around the same.
The 52, we found that 52 was just monstrously big. And no matter where you were on the field, you could see that screen. So,
okay, well, I lied, but it's going to be screen.
No, it's going to be big.
It's huge. It's between the 40 and 50 range. So you're still, there's not going to be a bad seat. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and the double feature is? For everyone's knowledge.
Nightmare Before Christmas is going to be the one at dusk.
And the original 1978 Halloween.
Ooh, I'm cheering.
Yes.
My fave. I have spoofed this movie with my family. I don't know if you've seen it.
I think I have.
So maybe I'll share that as well.
Absolutely.
Duncan, you did a really good job playing Michael Myers. So, so I'm super psyched. I'm super excited, and I love that you guys are doing these events. It's awesome.
This will be the last one until spring.
Yeah, because it might be chilly. What do we do about the cold? Do you have suggestions? If it's bring a blankie.
Definitely. Yeah, bring a hand warmer thing. You know,
Can we burn some witches or have a
a little cauldron out there?
Can we allow fire pits? Yeah. I don't know.
No, I don't. I do
I
not
feel like
want
that would ruin the
flames.
Experience of being able to see
don't
it
want open yes. flames.
All right. No open flames.
On the field.
All right, that might be a little too dangerous.
On a dry field.
Thank
no.
you, voice of
no.
reason. That makes a lot more sense.
Pull it in. Pull it in.
Damn it.
No, I think, you know, and we're encouraging right. costume dress up. So I'm
totally.
hopefully, you know, it's not like the slutty nurse kind of costume. We want people to come in.
I mean,
with,
that's fine.
How can you discriminate against the slutty nurse, Rob?
See, I'm for it.
We're trying
fine.
To help the slutty nurses, actually. This is for BB. It's a fundraiser. So, you know.
All right, fine. If you don't want to be a slutty nurse, just be a dead one.
Yeah,
show up in
a
dead
a nurse,
nurse outfit.
You know, bring in your any sexy outfit you want. The sexy cat, the sexy witch, the sexy
Pokemon.
Yes, Pokemon.
I mean, whatever. Halloween is a chance for you to be anything that you can be.
Yes,
in
absolutely.
Your heart and soul.
Yep. And
whatever.
We were Michael Myers and Jack Skellington for the promo for this.
I'm really excited. My hope is that there will be like a lot of people, a lot of Michael Myers just wandering around, like just many, 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 which
it's
would
true.
Be so
that
funny.
Would be cool. And it's, you know, it's not an expensive
yeah.
costume. It's pretty easy to do.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's yeah. one of the better ones.
Okay. So please, everyone, find out where to, you know, if you need information, where do they go? Where do you find the info, man?
Revivalhousetheater.com.
Okay. Revival House, you'll probably find it on Facebook as
yeah,
well.
Facebook and Cape Gazette has articles on it. And
yeah. Yeah. It's been.
I don't think we could do any more promo. My God.
Yeah. All right. We're done. Okay. So the real reason
no,
I brought
I mean,
you
just
here.
Just in general.
Like, yeah.
All
yeah.
the damn shows.
Fine. Just exactly. come to it and just have fun and enjoy yourself and shut up. Okay. Bye. Yeah.
Let's do one thing. Let's do the date. Sunday, October 25th.
We did. Yeah.
Okay.
We
October
did
25th.
Yeah. Oh, damn it.
All right.
I'll actually
Hudson
listen to
Hudson Fields. I'm going to go into like a radio voice that I never did. Hi. Welcome to the film effect. Okay. So.
It's very NPR. I like it.
Do you like it?
Where's
yeah,
your coffee?
I
hey, I know. I need more coffee, actually. But I really brought you here because my favorite thing about, you know, Halloween and Halloween movies and scary movies is that there's always this concept that I love to ask people about. Anyway, is like what movie like really messed you up as a kid? You know, I think that we can all name, most people can name like a movie that they were like, that movie fucked me up. And that was like kind of the question I wanted to throw at you guys. And I know you also want to talk about your top picks for scary movies and horror movies. And we can go anywhere
we'll,
with this
we'll
conversation. But I think let's start
That's
with
a
this.
Good start.
Yep. Yes, let's start with this. And I will tell you for me personally, it was kind of a hard pick because there were a few that really got me. But my first one that I came up with was Poltergeist. And the All second right. one was The Changeling. So these are the two for me that I think are the top, you
top
know,
tier.
Top tier of
yep.
nightmares
and very
covers
classy.
Over my head.
Very
and,
classy though.
And did you like those?
Yeah.
Well,
I've actually never seen
George
The Changeling.
Scott,
I've never seen The Changeling.
It is phenomenal. It is a true, I think it should be mentioned in the same kind of tier with Exorcist, Rosemary's Baby of that time.
Yes.
1979, yes. George C. Scott. He puts on this amazing performance, and it's just one of those that is a true haunted house. I mean, it's just old school haunted house scares.
You know what that director went on to direct?
No.
The perfectly wonderful, trashy Species 2.
Did he really?
I did, believe that or not.
Wow.
Just that pure carnage sex film.
Wait, wasn't that the one that they couldn't even get Natasha Henstridge to...
No, she was in it.
Oh,
not
she
much.
Was in that one?
Not
okay.
a ton, but yeah. It's,
okay.
It's just... Like, it's one of those, like, if you bought on VHS, like, a used one, there'll be very specific areas where the tracking is all messed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, exactly. What
because
been
it was
paused played, so long on this.
So many times.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm in, it's funny, I feel like I'm, like, back in, like, high school with my guy friends that were, like, into all these B. I had these guys I used to hang out with. I'm going to shout out to Tony and Jason and a bunch of other guys who would just for fun like watch bad B horror movies. It was so
oh,
funny.
Yeah. That was,
used
it
to?
Was so funny.
Used to?
Right. Well, I mean, it's do. Like I feel like I'm like having like warm feelings being around you guys. But I will say, just I'll share a little personal bit before I get you guys into your stuff. So these are 80s movies. 82 is Poltergeist. 80 is The Changeling. I actually did a whole episode on The Changeling, which was awesome. If you guys want to go back and look for that one, where I actually brought my friend Kelly from my childhood to discuss how this movie messed us up. So those movies are the, and it's funny because I think I was probably like, I was probably like 11 around the time that I saw them, or maybe 12 because it was the kind of time, if you remember the 80s, like
totally.
You didn't see a movie, if you didn't, I didn't see these movies in the theater. So
when
that
did
meant that
again?
I saw them
on HBO or something.
82 is Poltergeist and 80 okay. is The Changeling.
Yep.
So
I guess I was 9 when I saw Poltergeist. So I didn't go on.
Well, you could have been older because I was realizing too that like I didn't see these movies in the theater. So it must have been a video or something. And that must have been later.
Probably HBO. That was kind of the time.
Late night HBO.
Yeah. And it took a while for movies to come out to VHS back then.
Yep.
Yeah. It wasn't like 2 months later.
Yeah, there was like a 6 month or a year sometimes.
You had to wait. So I'm like, I might have been older than I think. But and I do have a funny share. I'll just share this one little thing. In terms of like, I didn't see the movie, but things that scared the shit out of me. I was sharing this with my kids last night because we watched this scary movie last night called It Follows, which that's a whole other
podcast. That's on my list too. That's a great one, man.
That's a whole other one. But anyway, I do remember when I was young, before these full movies, and I got scared in the night, not from a movie, just bad.
Sure.
Whatever. Ran downstairs. My mom was in the living room watching TV, and I came like behind the sofa. She didn't see me. And she was watching American Werewolf in London. Oh, and I literally walked into the scene that he transforms into the werewolf. So she's just
scene.
Like it facing is. The TV and I'm like behind her. So I'm already terrified and I run down the stairs and now I watch this man, you know, like into this. And I'm even like doubly horrified now. And then I'm like, mommy. And she's like, what are you doing? Here and it was like close your eyes. It was like this whole funny situation that happened. So that also freaked me out, but I didn't actually see the whole movie until much later.
Sure.
So there's those moments that we have too, which is our parents are watching scary movies. We happen to see two bits of it.
Yep. And so, usually we're the ones up. I mean, I don't know about you all, but in the time of HBO and Cinemax, I mean, I didn't have it. We couldn't afford that.
Right.
But our neighbors did. So I would always be asking to spend the night over my neighbor's house, and then
it was on.
And then, yeah, oh, exactly. You know, if it was Last Tango in Paris or Bilitis, or I mean, I can remember some of the names of these. And you know, it was always these like late night sneak downstairs. And as soon as you heard that creak upstairs, it was like, oh shit! You know, you just froze in panic, and it was just a parent going to the bathroom or something. But you were scared to death that you were going to get busted by checking out one of these late night.
Yeah, HBO After Dark.
Yeah.
Well, that was the time too. We had HBO because, you know, we paid the cable guy $20 and he just gave us cable.
Nice.
Like,
that's awesome.
That was such
under
a sweet,
the table.
A good time.
Yep.
Good days back then. Like, hey, you got $20, you got the package, you're fine.
So true. So which Rob should we start with?
Well, he shares, I think, your affinity. So I think
Yeah, I mean we can just go. Because
right,
mine's
Rob,
Poltergeist.
Rob Waters
Poltergeist is the same. I'm with you.
Yeah,
like that's the first one I saw that I saw with my parents, and I think it was on HBO. And that really, you know, kid getting eaten by a tree. That's really kind of fucks you up as a child.
Yeah. So can I ask, like, what part of that movie like really got you? Or like, there's always like pieces, right? That you kind of like. I know when I talk to people about Poltergeist, they're always like the clown, or the tree.
The tree is the one that got me, because it actually eats the kid. Like, he's like fighting for his life, and it actually devours that kid. I mean, he comes out fine. But it's just at that time where it's like, that tree is just going to town on him. It's really, can that happen?
The swimming pool scene got me.
When she
was in the swimming pool, and then all the ancient bodies started to kind of pop up in there.
So
that
insane.
Was just, and that with the sound design too. I mean, it was that, you know, that wonderful jump scare sound. It was just
the music is great in that movie.
That's fantastic.
I'm gonna, for people that don't know, I'll just, not that we're gonna talk so in length about these movies.
Spoiler
but
alert!
I'll just tell you, Poltergeist is 1982. It's Tobe Hooper.
Kinda.
Let's get into
it's
it.
More Spielberg
it's
than
more
Hooper.
Spielberg.
It's Spielberg.
Spielberg kind of took
Yeah, so we see this as a Spielberg movie, and it just has awesome people in it, you know.
True
just
Beth
anyway,
Williams.
Yes, I love her. By the way, I also thought she was kind of hot.
Oh, absolutely!
Oh, yeah.
Teachers,
good lord! Yes.
I remember that in Teachers when she marched down topless.
I'm like, Joe Beth, then she's got the gray at the end,
that's
like
great.
The streak.
It's awesome.
But yeah, so that was a diversion. But so anyway, the movie did freak me out. But you were saying, Rob. About the parts that scared you.
I mean, just the tree. I mean, the clown kind of was scary, but honestly, I don't know. I think it's just the tree that got me the most.
Yeah.
That was the one that just really, like.
So did you have nightmares from this movie? Did you, like.
Yeah, but you
keep
know.
You up?
It's also the tiny woman, just like her. It wasn't so much. Like, is that offensive?
No, that's actually right. That's small
She's
person.
She's a tiny woman.
Small person.
She's a tiny woman.
Small person. That's good.
Yeah.
The medium and psychic?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
The tiny person. So
Melda.
Her, like, monologues are really good in it. Like, they just take their time. And that's like, that also scared me just as much as any of the action, which is, you know, it's kind of like, I always love talking about the horror story rather than showing it a lot of times.
Yes.
Like, some things are just great that way. Like, you know, watching like the first Lord of the Rings, where Gandalf is telling the story about how all these like elves died in this terrible battle.
Right.
I know it's off topic, but it's just,
okay.
it's an example of that. Like, I found that much more scary than actually them coming to attack. It's just that it's telling the ghost story within a horror movie that I love.
Well, that's my favorite thing if we're getting to filmmaking, is when they can do that without having to show you so much. Because I think our minds are more upsetting. The things we come up with are way worse than what you could see.
Look at Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I just watched that.
Did you?
This month.
Okay.
Again. And, you know, the reputation that it's had for so long about just how brutal it was. Like, 90% of the violence takes place off screen.
Right.
You don't see half that shit. It's your mind that kind of fills in those gaps of the brutality that took place.
Yeah.
And it's not as violent. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 has far more violence, even though it's lighter in tone. It's far more violent than the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre ever was.
Yeah, it's 2 is a lot more fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love 2.
Get some sweet McConaughey action.
Love 2. No, that's 4.
Is that 4?
That's 4. Yeah.
Who's like, in 2 then?
And then they did the remakes.
2 is with Stretch. She was in the radio booth where he took, that was late at night, but we'll go down that rabbit hole. But there's 3 with Leatherface, which had one of the best trailers ever. The best trailer for that was when the chainsaw rises out of the pond.
Oh my God.
Like Excalibur. And it says, "The legend is reborn." Go back and watch the trailer for that. It's amazing.
I haven't rewatched any of those in a long time.
It's actually really good. It's probably one of the better ones. It came out in 92 or 93. And then 4 was with McConaughey and
Zellweger.
Renee Zellweger.
Wow. I have to go back. Yeah. I mean, there could be a whole episode on
3
Texas
was
Chainsaw.
With Viggo Mortensen, speaking of Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
Viggo Mortensen was one of the clan of cannibals.
You guys are killing it.
Sorry.
No, I love it.
You
I'm so psyched.
You had me down a nerd hole.
That's why you're here.
You mean killing it good, right? We're not killing the mood.
But
no,
I'm good.
You're killing it in a good way because you're bringing all the information that I can sometimes, you know, not be very good at.
Well, Texas Chainsaw, the first one was so scary because it had a documentary feel about it. It was like one of those first.
I think that's why it really freaked people out, too. Yeah. Like, you know, the serial killer thing today is like so everywhere.
Overplayed.
I mean, you can watch Criminal Minds and it's like really insane sometimes. I'm like, what the hell just happened to that?
Yeah.
That was
comedies
crazy.
With serial killers, yeah.
But back then, you're right. Like, in that movie's, what, 70s, right? Like, when's the first one? It felt very.
1973?
And it felt very indie.
Is it really that old?
I think it's that old.
Yeah, I think it's 73.
Yeah. But I will. We haven't even asked Rob. Rector. I feel like I need to call you Waters and Rector.
That's fine.
Yeah, let's
you
do that.
Which you don't, whatever. But I think for me, those two movies, the reason I was really, the things that scared me most were hauntings and ghost stories because, and I went on to watch like after I got older, like you were mentioning Rob Waters.
I'm sorry, I'm looking up the actual one, Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
I did watch some Thrasher movies. They're still not my favorite. I still am a much bigger fan.
Slasher movies.
Thrasher
movies are
skateboarding.
What the hell did I just say?
Which are good.
I mean, we got some Gleam in the
Cube. Let me get my grandma sweater and say it correctly.
74.
Which I'm literally wearing. I'm literally wearing that. But I do think those movies still scare me the most. Movies that are like about hauntings and ghosts. And I think that was the thing that scared me the most as a kid because I was raised Catholic. And this, I think if you're raised with religion, you're more into ghost stories.
Horror movies are so awesome because, I mean, what they do is especially safe. You're still viewing them from the safety of your seats. So they, you know, they take that part of your brain, that primordial part of your brain that drips that, you know, where you get that adrenaline rush still, but yet the back part of your brain, our more rational part, is still allowing us to feel the comfort of where we are. So you're still getting the both. You're getting that endorphin rush, but you're also in the comfort of someplace. So it's that's why they've been so, you know, popular throughout the years. And that's why they usually play, if you look at horror films throughout history, you know, they each play to the fears of their time. So it's, you know, it depends on
other podcast.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast. Yeah. I mean, you could do like where Night of the Living Dead was, you know, a take on the that start of the zombie
civil
craze
rights.
was civil rights, was Vietnam War, and so on and so forth. I mean, he's always been very topical with his zombies and what they represent. Like, it was consumerism in 1979 with Day of the Dead, or Dawn of the Dead, and 83 with Day of the Dead. But, you know, each one represents, I mean, if you look in the early 90s, you'll see a lot of technology creeping into horror films. You know, you'll see where the web starts to kind of, you know, now that seems to be the popular trend. So it's going to be amazing to see what transpires out of this, living in this pandemic, will kind of eventually formulate itself on screen when it gestates.
We've already seen, not that I've seen this movie, but there was a movie about your phone telling you when you're going to die.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a of the times kind of horror movie, right? Yep. So we're seeing that too. There's been many movies. I saw a movie with our teenagers, like, this is a while ago, where it was literally like all shot through webcams.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a ton of them, like Unfriended. And,
that was probably it.
Yeah.
But let's get back to Poltergeist for a minute, 'cause I love it so much. That movie really tapped into my fear of the unknown and the idea that, not that you could be ripped out of your like reality, like the little girl, you know, that she's into the TV or, you know, into this like spiritual realm. But just that there were things that you couldn't see that could do anything to you or just be in the room with you. And I'm also like a super nerd about movies. That's why I like The Changeling, I think it was the first time in a movie other than that movie that I started to see, which now we see all the time, but the expert paranormal people came into the house and I was like, that is fucking awesome.
All the seance.
I was like, that's a job. People come in and they're like, let me investigate. You know, and the camera guy and they got the, you know, and I like really freaked out.
And they got a sound guy too. They got a budget for a sound guy always. That always surprises me.
Yeah, it is. And I never saw that before. And I thought as a kid, I was like, you could do that? Like you could be like an investigator of ghosts? Like, wow. You know, like I'm surprised I'm not sitting here right now as a job. Like that's my job right now. But I really thought that was so cool. And I've loved that in movies ever since when there's scenes where they come in. Like I just watched The Conjuring with Stella and, you know, they come in with all the gear.
Yep.
It's awesome to me. Yep. And that's because I'm a film nerd and I'm also in media and all this stuff. But
well,
I digress.
To add on to the Poltergeist thing was it also was like one of the first times I saw growing up that showed you you're not safe with your family.
Right.
Like, you know, because you're watching the kid. Everything happens within the house, within earshot of your parents. And, you know, like when you're a kid, it's like, well, you know, you sleep in your bed, you're next to your parents, everything's fine. And this is one of those movies, like everything just creeped into the house and took them away.
Which was in a suburban home, no less, too. I mean, it further exemplifying that like comfort of, oh, we're in the middle of suburbia, nothing happens here, everything's safe.
Yeah,
everything's
like you're
calm.
In sleepaway camp, sure. That makes sense. You should die there. That's where everyone dies. That's
of course,
why you don't
Jason's
go to
especially
gonna
if
come,
you have sex.
Yeah. That's why you don't go to camp.
Yeah,
that's
all those naughty teenagers. True, very true. Well, Rob, let's Rector.
All right, so I'm going to take it in a different direction.
Okay, please do.
And if you go art school on this,
I'm not going to art school on this. No, this is very lowbrow. Very lowbrow. So let me. I got to rewind this a little bit because you set me down a rabbit hole by asking me this.
I did.
But I had a very definitive memory. I just had to understand why. So, growing up at the time that we all did, around the same time we all did, there were two magazines that were Bibles for us. Starlog magazine, which was something that was more sci-fi related, and Fangoria.
Fangoria. Shout out.
Horror nerds, right?
I totally used to.
So my parents were very conscientious. They allowed me a Starlog, but Fangoria had a little bit too much blood in there. But fortunate for me, I had an older cousin who had a subscription. So I would always go. I mean, we were always over their house, and I was always paging through Fangoria magazine. And I actually
those
found
parents
the cover.
Letting you guys watch porn and Fangoria.
Fangoria.
Amazing.
That is the cover of the film that is that.
Oh, my God.
It's called Extro. Extro was released in, I believe, 1982. And it was actually one of the first starts of New Line Pictures. Robert Shea actually directed it. He went on to produce all this Nightmare on Elm Street films.
Okay.
So anyway, my father, who worked an overnight, he was a bread truck driver overnight, and you know, it was few and far between that we could actually go to the movies together. So, you know, it was one of these father-son bonding experiences. He's like, all right, I'm going to take my son. And it was, again, it was the 1980s. It was during Star Wars. I was still a huge Star Wars nerd. Here's Extra, which featured, you know, that if you looked at the poster of it, it was, you know, some extraterrestrials aren't friendly or whatever, but it was during E.T. and all that. So
it was like,
so it was, it looked like scary, but it had still the elements of Star Wars or something in there. So it's like, all right, you know what? Fine. So we went to this dingy theater in Newcastle. It was just this, you know, this awful theater that's no longer, it shuttered its doors. But it was by the Tri-State Mall, I remember. And
was it in the Tri-State Mall?
No, no. It wasn't the Dollar Theaters there, but it was like second run. It was right outside of there. So anyway, we're in that theater, and Extro starts to play. Extro is this British import that is just so incredibly fucked up if you watch it. It's not even an hour and a half long. And within the first, I think I said it, I wrote it down here, within the first like 15 minutes, this woman, there is no gist, really. I mean, the director even stated, I wanted to get away with as many things as I could. So it was during the time of video nasties and so on and so forth. But so anyway, this alien comes down and or takes away this kid's father. Him and his father are out in the field, takes away the father. Father comes back 3 years later. The alien comes in. And it is this creepy, what they had was a contortionist.
Is that what that was?
Had him walking backwards on all fours and had the head turned around the opposite way and in this slimy little costume.
It's so gross.
It was so fucking freaky. So within the first 50 minutes, he comes in and face rapes this woman and impregnates her.
It's so true.
Within one... And within that
so
same
have you seen
night,
this movie?
I'm sorry, I can't help but laugh. I am interrupting him by laughing.
Well, face rape is funny. He texted me last night
and you said, just watch like the first 15 minutes of this thing. Okay. I'm like, and I had already watched It Follows, and I just was like, all right. And I was like, oh my God.
No, dude,
it gets worse. What is happening?
But I never saw that because that was when my dad, you know, put his hand over my eyes because I wasn't even a teenager at this point.
The creeping through the fingers.
Yeah, so
yeah, just like I failed as a parent. Hold
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go.
Exactly. Yep. So it's
this
like,
will fix it.
It's like the parent seatbelt, you know, when you're just like automatically
stop short.
Your arm. Yeah. So anyway.
This was a bad choice.
That was in the first 50 minutes. So my dad, I'm sure my dad was probably thinking, okay, we're getting this out of the way early, so it'll go on. No, no, it doesn't. Because then she proceeds to give birth to the full-grown man who is Tony's father, who was abducted by the alien, comes out, you know, the bathing suit area, and then proceeds to go into the house and eat his son's snake eggs. And then he infects his son by sucking on his shoulder, his like 8-year-old son's shoulder, in a really creepy fashion. His son is now infected by it. There are little people involved. The son has this ability to make his toys come to life. There's a G.I. Joe that he...
I need to finish it.
It's a G.I. Joe
so crazy.
That he makes.
I have never heard of this.
It is
Either
insane.
Did I.
There's apparently two sequels that are kind of unrelated, but it is so...
It's crazy.
And it's filled with all like the sound design in it. Everything was just like icky, like, you know, all the squishiness that you can think of. Mariam Dabo, who went on to be a Bond girl, actually. This was her first role in there. She was like the French nanny. Gorgeous. Looked fantastic. And, of course, she ends up being just essentially an alien factory because the little boy sucks
rightfully
on her
so.
Belly. So needless to say, I never saw the rest of this because after the first hand covering part with my father – then we left.
He bailed you out of there.
A half hour into it, he's like, no, there's no fucking way.
He's like, why don't we go to the soda pop shop and get some ice cream and
he
milkshakes.
Had to try to cleanse, you know, with bleach, whatever scars that I had from there. But of course, that made it a holy grail for me because I'm like,
yeah.
I've got to see what, you know, what I missed. And so I'd spent the, you know, the next few years of my life waiting to try and get a dingy copy of it on VHS and then subjected myself to it. But those memories of just the whole pomp and circumstance, and we know what going to the movies itself is always a big thing when we were growing up.
Yeah.
So that was big enough in and of itself.
I know. It was like special.
Yeah. But then...
Nothing's fucking special now.
To be
Sorry,
able to...
that's a divert.
To be able to...
Damn it!
Yes, it is.
Catch
Sorry.
Up on those things that I didn't get a chance to see. I mean, and that fucked me up even more so when I actually saw them was... I mean, it was just... That was insane. I mean, it was just such a fucked up movie. And to this day, I still... I can recount it with just absolute clarity.
Did you have serious nightmares?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. But the one thing that when you were saying about what, you know, what kind of creeped us out individually, like not the actual film itself, but there was one that I saw on late night cable that or late night HBO or something. And again, totally obscure movie. Don't remember too much of the rest of it. All I remember is it had John Rhys Davies, who was in, at the time, he was also in Raiders of the Lost Ark, and he was a hero of mine because it was, you know, I wanted to see anything that anyone tangentially related to Raiders of the Lost Ark was in. It's called In the Shadows of Kilimanjaro.
Hmm.
It took place in Kenya, and it was based on a true story. And it was about this drought that oversaw the area there and turned the baboon population into like these wild, just killing machines. But there's this one scene that they have of them rushing like a swarm of baboons rushing over a hillside and then running across a dusty plain to this village. So all you see are just these gnashing teeth and these wild baboons that are just heading toward the local villagers. And that scene stuck with me. It scared the bejesus out of me. And to this day, I can still, I have absolute clarity, I can recall that.
Man.
All right, so we just took up the first hour with your first fucking question. We just took
dominated a bit.
All right. You guys went on a poltergeist.
I have to tell you.
So wait, Starlock. Oh yeah, right there. Sorry.
A little loud. He's blasting it.
Do you know Starlock? I had never heard of that.
No, I haven't. But Fangoria, I do know.
I never heard of Starlock though.
And I will.
Both owned by the same company.
Starlock, I will tell you that my listeners to know more about me, but I was really scared of those two movies, and then I'll share a story that I probably shared before, which is traumatic in both ways. Would you like to hear it?
Absolutely.
Cozy on over.
Love drama. It's fine.
Come over. So I wanted to have this like birthday party when I was 12, and I was like, I want to be cool. I'm going to like have my friends over, and we're going to watch Nightmare on Elm Street, because I like had not seen it. And I was like, this is going to be so cool, like whatever. So I invited all these friends over, and I had boys and girls there, and so the movie started, and like I couldn't watch it. Like I was so freaked out, and it was my goddamn party. So I'm like, this sucks, you know? And so I ended up like trying to like sneak out and hide like into the other, like we had a playroom that was next to like our garage.
Right.
And I had been kind of like sending notes back and forth with this kid, Eddie, and he liked me. We liked each other. And I don't know what happened. My mom must have sent him to like get something out of the, like go get sodas and go find Tiffany. So we like were in the playroom, and he's like, we gotta go into the garage. We go into the garage. I don't know how I got in the garage, but I'm in the garage, and this kid Eddie like slams me up against the wall and French kisses me, and I'd never been kissed in my life. So this is my 12th birthday, where I'm terrified of Nightmare on Elm Street, and I just got attacked by a boy, and then I had to go into the party and be like, oh my god,
and watch
so
Freddie
crazy.
Try and French kiss a girl through the telephone.
So oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Wow.
It was actually very memorable to me, but that movie, and I have a story with the Fangoria part, so that movie made me so annoyed, because I was like, this is enough. Boys are trying to attack you, and you can't watch a scary movie. It is over with the scary movie bullshit. So this
or
started...
Boys, either way.
Yeah, more importantly, the scary movie somehow. Yeah. I was like, you cannot be afraid of these dumb movies. Plus, I was really into movies as a kid, so I was like kind of annoyed that I couldn't sit there and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I made it like my weird mission to suddenly become like... really into scary movies. And I was like, I'm going to like just dive.
Overcome
and I got
fear.
Fangoria magazine. And I was like, I'm going to learn about special effects. I'm going to learn about how they make these movies. And actually that magazine helped me get over my fear, because they break down how you do all these scary things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's fake, you know? And so then I was able to like overcome that.
Yep.
And then I also became a huge fan of horror. So it
how
was,
old were you?
I think I was like, it was like 12, 13 that I started this.
That's kind of when I hit that age too, yeah. 13, because I was scared shitless of all that stuff up until about that time.
Fangoria was like the behind the scenes, the director's commentary before there were director's commentaries on DVDs. You got a chance to see how the hot dogs were made. You got a chance to go behind the scenes. But yet also it gave you all these titillating pictures of like what it could look like when it's on the screen. Mm. So
it's awesome.
You got to see him apply the blood. You got to see him. I mean, that alone led me to, you know, single-handedly like want to like have some sort of relationship with film for the rest of my life. That Starlog, like I said before, and heavy metal to an extent too.
Heavy metal.
Oh man, that's a whole
helps young men into adulthood.
Absolutely. Dude. Yep.
So oddly, I was in this like realm with you guys in a weird way because it wasn't a girl thing at all, you know. So I was like the weirdo of the people being into this stuff. But yeah, so this began my like love for horror. Thanks, Eddie.
Well, right?
Yeah. You did it,
Eddie and Freddie.
Well done, Eddie. Can we get Eddie on the phone? Eddie here? And let's Freddie. Get Eddie on the line and talk about this.
Oh my God!
Tell me about that move in the garage.
Oh Jesus!
Tell me about that classy move.
He's been watching too many horror movies himself.
Well, I think a lot of times you stumble across these horror movies on like parties and like my first like. I can't believe I'm watching this horror movie was at a sleepover and it was Children of the Corn. That was the first, like talking like the first, like, oh, this is really R. Like,
yep.
And the Linda first Hamilton. Scene where they just kill all the parents. Like that's the very first scene. They kill all the parents in this diner and like, oh, okay.
That's where we're going with this.
I like kind of forget that movie. I feel like I need to rewatch it.
It's not really good.
It's boring though, isn't it? I feel like it was
there are long stretches in there. It's not one of the better Stephen King adaptations. Well, but that said, for a young mind though, it had just enough in there to kind of keep you like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm watching this.
Yeah. Children's choir, scary thing.
Like. Yeah. And there is always like that. I mean, because of the locale of where we are and we are very close to
corn
Amish communities no Amish communities and it's just one of those things where it wasn't uncommon
for
us to see a horse and buggy if you just went a little further north in Delaware, you know, or
there's a ton of them up there,
so yeah
nice.
So you know
that's where they all live.
They'll kill you.
And it, you know, the only it wasn't just Harrison Ford and Witness, it was, you know, we get to see, oh my God, did they actually do that?
Witness, you just pulled Witness out. That's awesome.
I'm looking for Mordecai.
Yeah.
Oh,
Mordecai.
That kid, Mordecai, man. Mm-hmm.
They weren't just all barn raising.
Yeah.
He was in The Burbs too. He was a scary guy he was a creepy guy in The Burbs.
I feel like that poor actor got so typecast.
He was in the next like they had like Children
you
of the Corn.
You can't look
movies.
At him and not think Children of the Corn. Like that's it's for life.
Right.
He walks
right.
into the grocery store and people were like, Mordecai.
Mordecai.
He's like, I just want to get some cereal.
He's like Anthony Michael Hall, too.
Can
I mean, he's
me
a victim
alone?
Of the same.
Wait, Mordecai was a little guy, right? I'm thinking of the big redheaded guy.
I'm thinking of the red one. Yeah, the redheaded.
No, Mordecai was the little one.
Oh, what am I thinking of?
He was in that really.
Who was the redheaded kid?
The lover.
Let me go to
T-Rex.
My interwebs.
The T-Rex becomes him and.
Denise Richards?
Yeah.
Tammy and the T-Rex.
Yeah, Tammy the T-Rex. He was the scientist who was the.
Oh, my God. I'd have to watch that again. We watched that together, too, and I can't. Okay.
He's the scientist.
Okay.
Right. Children of the Corn.
Like, oh, Mordecai got some work.
That's right.
All right. Who is the. I need to. This is. Okay, so.
See, I thought Mordecai was the.
Did you
guy.
Have. Did we cover.
I think. No, Mordecai is the little guy.
All right, let's figure this out. Did we cover our ones that scared us the most as children?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you got another.
No. No.
Sure?
Not after that one, dude. I'm not going to launch into anything.
You got another 20 minute monologue for us?
You shame me.
Come on. Well, I know that you, Rob Waters, I know that you wanted to talk maybe the top horror movies.
Well, I mean,
or maybe
we could just keep going down the rabbit holes we're going. It's kind of fun.
We can. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I just didn't want to not allow time for you guys to talk about your favorites.
I can talk horror.
Because there's the ones that scared you, but they're not really, they're not your favorites sometimes. I will say the ones that did scare me, those two that I picked are also, I love those movies.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoy them now. Like, I rewatched The Changeling. When I did that previous episode, and I was like, guys, so awesome. Like, even though it's old, I was like, this movie is great. And maybe I'm still loving it because I loved it as a kid, or I was scared of it as a kid. But that movie is creeper. It is just crazy. But so let me ask you what your, like...
At the top?
Like, your favorite horror movies that you just, like, enjoy to watch.
I'm going to let you go in this one.
Come on.
No, I mean...
I promise not to make fun of your length.
I have a bunch of them. I mean, it just really kind of depends on the mood. But I like when anyone sets out to adventure, like American Werewolf.
Oh, yeah.
When they set out for adventure and, you know, it just goes batshit wrong for them. And I would say of most recent, the one that's had the most resonance of recent years would probably be The Descent.
Where it's a great
bunch of female climbers.
Oh,
they're
awesome.
Female rock climbers. Really? And they go cave diving into these pits. And there's a lot of drama in between them as well, too, which is really interesting, too. It's not like false drama. One of them has suffered a tremendous loss. And, you know, it's I don't want to ruin anything because it is such a good movie. And then they run into these creatures that have evolved underground.
Oh, my God.
And they're part human. And it is terrifying because it's claustrophobic. It is so super well lit. The creature design is amazing. And
cool.
They're just, it's just
it's on
all
my
around.
List now.
Yeah, it's
really
strong
listening,
female characters.
If you've hung in this long, get out your pen and pencil and write this shit down because these are the movies you should watch if you're into scary movies.
Well, yeah, because like I have a whole like list here of like things that people might not have seen, and that's on there.
That's what I have.
It's kind of like, have you not seen this? Like, because we're talking about like, I was texting you about The Guest. Like, it's like those kind of movies that people like, this deserves a cult following that it doesn't have quite enough of, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's true. I don't even, if I'm like such a classic fan, like I just go back to them over and over again.
Yeah.
I will talk about It Follows a little bit. I did watch this. I think it's smart, a really smart and well done horror movie. It's the kind of horror movie, and I'm sure you can relate to this, that like is a great movie to show students because you can show that like you don't need a lot to create a scary theme. Like that this whole entire story is built around this concept and all they needed, think about it. I was like, done, easy, people walking around, that's it. Like that's such a great concept and it's really effective, I thought, not to get into teacher
mode.
Well,
yeah, you can show it in like, you know, physical education classes. This is what venereal disease will get you, people.
I know, right? What is that, like a metaphor for STD?
Yeah.
What's going on here? Yeah.
Both that and The Guest are, I mean, that's a perfect example. I mean, it kind of ties back into everything that we're talking about because, honestly, one of the premier names of our childhood growing up was John Carpenter.
Right.
And both of those are quintessential examples of films that are that owe everything to John Carpenter.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And speaking of John Carpenter, my how about that segue?
That was good.
You
that
see?
Was nice.
You like I picked
that
it up right
that
there?
Was all really,
right,
thank really
you. Excellent segue.
Thank good you. Handoff.
My favorite film of all time is John Carpenter's The Thing. That's the one.
Is it really?
I always go back to and watch every year. Like that's I'm probably going to drink too much wine tonight, eat a lot of cheese, and watch that movie.
That movie's awesome.
That's a lot of details for everyone, but that's going to happen.
No, that's fine. It's not that inappropriate. If you were going to be like naked at the end of that sentence, maybe I'd be like, okay, do your thing,
as
man.
Opposed to now, he's naked now. I mean, how much more naked does he need to be?
It's so weird for everyone.
Doesn't everybody, don't we all get naked, drink, and watch horror movies
in
our living
room? I keep saying this, Rector. Eyes up here, man.
I know. I'm sorry, dude. I can't help it. Can't help it.
I'm sorry. Did I mention that we're all naked right now? It was required. It's a scary episode.
And everyone tuned out.
Just kidding. But
click, click.
So
click,
okay. Click. So I'm gonna. So Rob Waters.
Yes.
The thing.
The thing. It's just to me. It's a perfect film. It's just you talked about The Descent. That is, I think, a child of The Thing, just that claustrophobia. They're going, this isn't so much their own adventure, but they're stuck in an Arctic research lab. And it's just, it's kind of like that Shining where there's just sound of the wind outside at all times. They ain't going anywhere. And you don't know who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. And the ending is this beautiful, ambiguous, like, well, we're both fucked, so let's just end the movie. How about that?
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of.
Exactly.
And
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell.
Love him.
And the gore is just amazing. It still holds up so well.
Practical effects are so incredible with that. And the sound design that go along with that.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that always gets me with it is that they have to have that really crisp sound design when they're getting when you get that introduction to whatever beast it is.
I also like, you know, I teach a film class and I always play the scene where they're all tied down in the chair.
Oh,
and
okay.
Like how to create how to create tension.
Yes.
And also, as a filmmaker, how you can fool the audience with a special effect. Was I too close to the mic again?
A little bit.
Sorry.
Okay. You know. I'm trying to make sure I don't have to do work later.
I don't have a holder, so I just have to.
I mean, I do this too.
I thought that's why you got naked.
No, it's okay.
It's true.
Oh, my God.
So, okay. So as a geeky film guy, like as because I make my own short films, is yes. I tell people you don't need amazing special effects, but if you can create a shot where the audience trusts this shot that you're doing, and then you do a trick within that shot that they already trust, like it freaks them the hell out. An example of that is the scene where he has the little dish with all the blood in it.
Petri dish.
Yeah, and it's like his hand is in the forefront, like this. I know this is radio, so you can't see what I'm doing, but the hand is in the foreground.
I'm following, yes.
Yeah. And it's there the whole time.
Yes.
And eventually he touches it and the thing pops up. But that hand is a fake hand, but you trust it the whole time because it's mm-hmm. in the shot from the very beginning.
Right.
And that's one of those like tricks of making film where you could just have, you know what you're going to do with this shot, but your audience trusts it and it shocks them the hell out.
Yes.
And because like they just didn't see that coming because they trusted that shot. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things that I love.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, it's awesome.
Good
yeah.
choice. So
any for you? I mean,
I was going to go.
You said The Descent.
Yeah, I said The Descent, but I'm going to stick to some of the ones since we're going with, you know, perhaps some of the ones that we haven't seen or some that haven't seen, because I was saying before we hit record, I've been going around the world with horror this year with my kids, and we've been watching films from all over, from all these different countries, and exploring horror within their cultures. And I think that's really, really fun, and it's interesting. So there's one called The Wailing.
I've heard of this, and I always like go past it.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Why do I keep seeing it, too? I'm like, The Wailing, what is that?
It's Amazon Prime. It's 2016, I believe, South Korean, and it is just an epic story, and I was surprised at how moved I was and how freaked out I was. I mean,
wow.
It is a touching story. It's a story about the responsibilities of a father. It's the stories about feelings of inadequacy. But it also is creepy as hell. I mean, it is so good, and it is just such this, you know, good versus evil. I mean, it's your very basic fundamental Halloween type story.
Yeah.
Your basic horror story of good and evil. But it's also about what do you trust and what is real and, you know, yeah, occult versus reality and parenthood. And I mean, it takes all of this in there. And it's a little over 2 hours. So it's longer, but it never feels long. And it is just really, really well done. I mean, and the acting in it is superb. It's
all right, everybody,
fantastic.
The Wailing. I will. This is bringing up something that I think be interesting real quick to chat about. I noticed that because I encounter a lot, and I'm sure you guys do too, unless you're only hanging out with people that are exactly like you, which you might be, but
say that we're hanging out with people these days. That doesn't.
And you're not. No, I'm just kidding. But I do find that like there is a, not a stereotype, but I think a lot of people think that aren't like big horror fans or just people that watch scary movies, that horror is dumb. And it's like not, you know, it has like a class to it. Do you notice this? Certain
sure.
people will be like, yeah. I don't watch stupid horror movies. Like, I only watch like whatever, you know? So it's this whole like kind of like feeling that you get around watching.
Elitism.
What is that though? But I feel like that does happen where people do that. And I'm like, no, what do you mean? But I think actually, and I wonder if you think in general, the horror genre gets a bad rap in being able to tell like really good stories and not just like, oh, look at the effect or look at the scare. Like, I think it does get that bad rap sometimes, especially like in the past few years before COVID hit. I remember there was like so many streams of movies coming out to the theater for like teens. These like really kind of like,
sure,
you know,
the cookie cutter.
They're just like
PG-13-ish.
They're just pumping them out, you know. And I'm like, but no, there are like smart horror movies, like you just mentioned this movie, that are actually like really deep storytelling,
yeah.
And they're really trying to talk about something else. And I actually think M. Night Shyamalan is doing that with his movies, whether you like all of them or not. I feel like all of his movies are really, not that he's, I don't know, is he considered horror?
No,
not really. But I mean,
but you get my point.
No, totally.
He's tried it, and man, it's been.
You could dismiss him and be like, "Oh, whatever."
Yeah.
But I find his movies, some of them, to be actually really interesting stories about.
He's good attention
other
building.
Things.
He's great attention building.
Yeah, and I will say a movie that recently, the two movies that have recently in the past few years messed me up mentally, not scared me, Hereditary and Midsommar. I'm like, what in the hell have I just seen? And I like turned off Hereditary. I remember when I saw Hereditary and I went, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, I like Hereditary. I love Midsommar.
And I'm just the opposite.
I absolutely love
really?
Midsommar.
Really? I almost wanted to do a whole Midsommar podcast because I've seen it like 3 times now. And I'm like,
it was last year. I told you to go see that.
And I am just still that guy that's making these movies.
Ari Aster.
What is going on with this guy?
Yeah.
So, are those horror
movies? But going
though?
Back to it, when you're saying horror makes money. Okay. I mean, that's why studios get behind it.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at Halloween was the single, it still to this day reigns as one of the best return on investments that a studio has ever made.
Because
it takes nothing, relatively nothing, to go ahead and produce it. But yet you can earn tenfold at the box office because people like those safe scares.
Yeah, they want the ride.
Yeah. So,
and it's named Halloween, which is an actual event that happens every single year.
But yeah, they make money. I mean, and that's why studios get behind them and they pump out, you know, a lot of them and relatively low cost. And that's why you have people like Roger Corman and so on and so forth who you know, they stake their claim in making just really cheap horror films. And that's where, because of Roger Corman, we have so many directors now who got their start with James Cameron and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, they all got their start in Roger Corman flicks. They were just making really cheap horror movies.
Yeah.
And that's why that's what led to their popularity. And I think that's also what leads to that elitism that you were talking about, where people feel like they may be, you know, they may be cheaply made.
I'm above that.
So,
I won't watch any horror film.
Well,
yeah. that happens
with comedy too. Like same kind of thing. It's like,
oh, okay, true.
I was talking to somebody the other day,
it's
like,
true.
I just don't like comedy. Like, so you're just dead inside? Is that what the deal is? That's all that's left?
It's just like tragedy. I just like to cry.
Yeah. I only watch documentaries about the Holocaust.
I don't have a TV in my home.
Yeah.
Just sad reality. Yeah. No, but I do hate that idea sometimes where I'm like, no, there's like smart. And I love when I see one that like really throws me. I'm like, wow, that was like, wow, what was that? You know, that was like making me think. It also freaked me out.
Yep.
But there's nothing wrong with just the good old fashioned trashy.
No, and I agree with you there too.
Totally,
because it's like, why do you get on a roller coaster, right? Like, why do people do anything like
that?
It's
the same endorphin rush that you just talked about, because you're safely, you know, you're locked in, the bar has been lowered, so you're in your seat comfortably, and you're, you know, you're in a controlled environment. But yet, you know, you're still up for a couple loops that are upcoming or drops that are on the roller skate or on the roller coaster ride. So, I mean, it's safe, but yet it's still, you know, it hits that amygdala on the brain where you're all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, this is allowing me to be really scared.
And even on the point you're talking about, like where, like 90s and early 2000s, where they were just churning out like pretty cookie cutter horror films. One of the great things about that, every once in a while, like that cookie cutter gets so distorted and like, you know, they just realize like we know exactly what sells these. So example is, it's not a good franchise, but the Final Destination franchise, it's not good. But number three is so much, it's literally a roller coaster where everyone dies.
Yeah.
And it's like they figured out the formula so well that they just made one hell of a stupidly good horror film. So that's kind of one of the things you get a lot of times with all these cookie cutter stuff is by like, it's even like
by default.
Yeah. Like we're talking, you know, I was making fun of Species 2 earlier. Species 1, it's kind of dull and they kind of tried to make a good film. Species 2, they knew what worked and they just went like, all right, people are having sex. There's nude aliens and lots of lots of gore. Like, I can't believe this is like beyond our gore in it. Like, I was allowed to go see this. How's that possible?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I remember me and my brother, I think we used to watch, it was like Return of the Living Dead. I don't know. It was just so bad, but it was like
Return
brains,
of the Living Dead Part
brains.
2. Yeah, that's Return of the Living Dead Part 2, where there never was a Part 1.
That's right. And
we
watched
really
that thing over. Yep. I remember him, we just laughed. We're like, this is awesome. Like, we just watched that movie over and over again.
But let's, I mean, honestly, we grew up in a time where we had the video shelf. And the video store shelf always held within it this promise of, you know, these incredible creatures and monsters and so on and so forth by the box alone. I mean, there's a couple sites online where you can just peruse all of the, you know, all the of these boxes. Exploitation film box covers.
Because, I got a whole book on it, man. It's great.
It's amazing awesome. To look at all this because it was a marketing unto itself. It was an art form unto itself. And 9 times out of 10, anything that was on the cover was not even close to what was inside the tape itself.
Yeah, usually the cover art was
better than the movie.
But yeah, there was so much spent on that. And that, but there was always hope. We always held out hope, like, oh my gosh, this has got something by, it looks like a, you know, H.R. Geiger a monster on here. So I'm going to go rent this. And then you turn out and it was a cheap dime store knockoff. My God.
Do you remember the cover for Body Bag?
Is that the one with the fluid in it?
Yes. It actually had blood fluid in the cover.
Did it really?
Yeah, you could like move it around.
Oh my God, that's
Dead
so
Pit.
Cool.
Dead Pit. There was one called Dead Pit if you look into it. Okay. It's got a zombie crawling out of a cemetery and its eyes actually lit up. It had two little LED lights in its eyes. And then Frankenhooker was another one.
I remember Frankenhooker.
If you push it, if you push the button on Frankenhooker, it she says brains or want a date or something like that.
Oh my
Look
God,
it up. It's
awesome.
It's on there.
That's another one of those. If you buy used VHS, the tracking's off at very specific spots.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep.
Okay.
But yeah, VHS box covers were I mean, that was one of the sole reasons, too, that I got into horror films.
Is it really? That's
absolutely.
So funny.
Okay. This is slightly – it's still on the topic of – stores. So we grew up around Wilmington where there was plenty of like, you know, video stores that we could walk in.
Okay.
But my wife Erin, she grew up in Seaford, like way out in like nothing. And she had something that I had never seen before, never even heard of. So
VeggieTales?
Yes. So she didn't have a video store, but she had a video vending machine. So
That's
she
crazy.
Could go at any time of the day.
A red box before it was red box.
And
red
box. And just go rent. Like, no, because if we went to a video store, we wanted to get something kind of like crazy. There still was a clerk there that had to, like, you're 10 years old. This ain't happening. Because in this box, she got was Elsa and the She-Wolf. Like,
no
way. I was like, how did you see that? She's like, oh, it was in the vending machine where I lived. Like,
I'm lost. I'm like, I feel like I'm not involved in the cool kid party now.
Yeah. Do you know
what?
You know, like event like
Elsa and the
Elsa,
oh,
the
Elsa and the She-Wolf. Yeah, Elsa. No, it's Ilsa She-Wolf
of the
SS.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you ever see Grindhouse, the original, like with all the fake trailers in the middle?
Yes.
Remember the weird one that had Nicolas Cage in it in the middle, where like Rob Zombie directed it, and it was like werewolves and Nazis.
Re-watch.
And
I think I have to rewatch.
It was one of the exploitation movies. So you had Hicksploitation, you had sexploitation, you had Nazi exploitation,
right?
And Ilsa,
it was the trifecta.
Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS had a number of it. If I think it had nunsploitation in it too.
I'm looking it up. Everyone, please look it up.
Yeah.
Was like,
oh yeah, Nazis.
She's like, oh, I saw that and I was like, I saw that and I was like 10. It's like, how did you see this?
Holy
like,
shit.
Oh, we had a vending machine. I was like, you must explain this to me because this is.
Yeah, no kidding.
We might need to go do a whole episode on like these obscure, not like exploitation films.
Oh, I could go in days.
That would be super fun.
There's so many exploitations out there that you could, you know,
that's crazy
that you could go into that are, and I try to hunt down a lot of them just to see them just because I mean, I'm endlessly fascinated.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, you kind of get like, if you grew up watching as many bad movies as we have, like you kind of just go down these roads of exploitation where it's like, you know what, we're going to do all blaxploitation this year. That's all we're doing. Like,
it'd be fun to do a festival of just that.
Yeah.
We tried to do that a little bit, but nobody showed up.
No, and we showed Three the Hard Way, which is one of my favorite because it had three of the founding fathers of blaxploitation cinema. In 1973, I think it was the film. And then we followed it up with a damn classic, which was Black Dynamite, which was one of the best modern parodies to date.
It's pretty perfect, man.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the director come in and do a Q&A on Skype with the audience, and no one showed up for that.
This is the problem. It's like when you talk about being a film nerd, I think it's because, you know, this is something that only certain people are attracted to. It's kind of like being into comics, right? Like, it's only for certain people that like that. So maybe that's the problem with it. It's not as mainstream as you would have hoped it would be, or maybe people aren't curious enough to like want to
the Revival House,
join this kind of party.
We kind of thought we were living in the city, and it's like, oh, that's right.
Yeah,
we're not in downtown New York here.
Well, I am like so happy I found you guys. The fact that we're sitting here, you don't understand that I love you so much. because I've not had this interaction since I was in like film school. So it's like, and I moved to Delaware and I was like, oh my God, I'm lost. I don't, no one's here that's like me. I'm going to be, what is happening? So it's nice to be, to know that this is not like, even though you're saying that, it, you guys do exist. And there's people out there, I'm sure.
There are.
Yeah. And I do think what's interesting to me, and I think this sometimes when you talk about all these like kind of B movies and the, you know, how many of them would just come out, you know, these movies would just like pump out at that time. There's times I think with filmmaking where being able to make movies is easier and then sometimes it's harder. And
sure.
One thing that's kind of, even though I'm like an old person and I get a little like, man, these kids can just make movies and put them on YouTube and then
using their phones.
Yeah. And I'm like, God damn it. I had to go buy film and make a movie. Like, you know, I get like a little like that, but I will say that I'm sure there's so many B movies and so many things because the access is everywhere. It's, way more affordable and doable
there's
for people.
There's all these platforms that you can have it put on.
So there's so much more content, which is sometimes annoying, but it's also...
It's good and bad.
It's good and bad.
Like
so this
everything.
Is maybe
there's
the upside, is that there's like people... Like, I love that you guys did the, you know, the Revival House movie trailer contest to see what people come up with.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. And it's like, anybody could do this, right? Like, just get on board. Come on, join us.
Well, just have fun, you know?
Yeah, it's fun.
That's it.
It's fun.
Give an outlet to the same thing, like, you know, Rob and I have often talked about it before, where, I mean, we would go in our backyards or around our neighborhoods, the first, you know, video cameras that we ever received and make our own movies. I mean, and I used to, I made a stop motion animation one for crying
Did
out
you?
Loud. Yes.
Awesome.
I took little clay figures and one by one started to, you know, manipulate them. I mean, it was horrible. But that said, you know, to have an outlet where you could actually see that on the big screen as a kid, holy shit, I'd be, you know,
you
I
lost
think,
your mind, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just to have that opportunity, I think, would be golden for some kids. And not to mention other filmmakers out here that just, they need a place to kind of have their art just be shared. Doesn't necessarily have to be the best art. Doesn't have to be polished. Just to share it with the community is kind of cool. Just to show them, like, I'm capable of producing art. I'm capable of doing something, and I want you to see my accomplishments.
Well, it's a great, you know, film is a great way of being self-expressed, and I do love that there's anything here, anywhere where people get a chance to do that. You guys have been doing that before COVID, trying in this festival too, but I think it's awesome. I do.
Cool.
And we just went into like a serious. I want to ask you because I know we're hitting the hour now, but I want to say we did talk about like kind of picks, like top picks. You
sure.
said,
mm-hmm.
How about since I'm not the biggest, I don't have the biggest knowledge of like gory movies mm-hmm. or like.
Oh, what are the?
You know,
I got. That
I
got
to ask,
too.
Like, what are your
What's
top?
The glorious?
Like, you know, just straight up gory, like. Crazy
right.
effects.
I already got mine okay. all queued up.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. You go. I'm going to ruminate
so
for a second on
I think
that
think
one.
About
it,
the
think about it.
My favorite, and I think it still has the record as the goriest film ever made, but it's
Does
still
it?
My favorite
Does it?
Is Dead Alive, or
Damn
also
it.
Known
brain
as
dead.
Brain Dead.
I was going to say that. Damn it. With the
I
monkey
know
rat.
Why. I did not get into these.
Did
rat you know,
monkey.
Rat monkey. This is done by Peter Jackson.
It is not.
It is. Yeah. Well, Peter
wait,
Jackson started
one?
Out as a serious horror person.
Rat jump? Wait. Say this again.
There's a rat monkey in it.
Oh, okay. So what's it called?
Carried in a Crate.
You probably know Dead Alive is probably how it's mostly known, but it was originally called Brain Dead.
Okay.
If you saw the VHS had a picture of someone ripping open a face and another face in the mouth.
So, okay. We're,
okay.
So
I'm
we're
seeing
about
it right now.
This. You have to find the right version because there's actually
yep.
two.
Yeah.
So blood when...
It's this. This is the goriest fright film of all time.
Yeah. Blockbuster okay. had it. And it was like an edited down version. So it was kind of like, like an OKR. Mm-hmm. But I remember the first time I saw it, I got it from West Coast Video or whatever it was. And it was like almost X. And then I kept telling all my roommates about it. I was like, you have to see this thing. You have to see it. Went to Blockbuster and got it. And we were watching. I was like, what's this shit? This isn't the same. This is completely different. And it
yeah.
turns out they had like an edited version just for Blockbuster.
Cause Did they really?
Because it was too much. It was too much gore. Like
that's funny.
There's
it's actually if I go to the IMDb of the top 100, that's a lot. Goriest horror movies of all time. The first one is Dead Alive.
There you go.
It actually has
a lawnmower.
Well, the lawnmower is amazing, but just the intestines that the intestines
oh,
that
man.
Come alive and start walking around and like attacking people.
Yeah,
like it's like that's it's really creative.
All right, well, now I've got some homework. My family needs to get out of my house if this is about. And I am seeing just some hits of like The Hills Have Eyes.
So is Pieces on there? Because Pieces was what I was going to go for. See if that's on there.
I don't know Pieces.
1982. It's an Italian film.
I'm seeing.
You'd remember the poster.
Evil
if you saw
Dead
it.
2, High Tension.
Hot Tension, yeah.
That was a foreign film. Someone just told me to watch this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, really? Wait, I haven't even
it's
heard
good.
That.
It's good.
Is it okay? Great.
It's good.
We got Tokyo Gore Police. That's some Day of
I'll
the
tell
Dead.
You, if you want to see a French, if you want to see a good French, like, as
please
part of that.
Bring up the, give us some foreign. You said The Wailing.
The Wailing is one, but there's one called Them. It's also known as ILS, I-L-S.
Okay.
It was 2005-ish, I think. But okay. it outstrangers the Strangers. Like, if you've ever saw The Strangers, the one with Liv Tyler.
Yes.
Where they,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, I've seen that.
This does it one better. And it is a couple who go to retreat to...
is this old? Like the 50s?
No, it's 2005. Couple goes to a retreat in a small but very spacious, I think it was an inherited house. I can't remember. But it's a husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend. And then, you know, little by little, they start to hear noises around the house. And then they have intruders. And the intruders come in and they just start relentlessly terrorizing them.
Oh, my God.
And it's just, you know, it's just piece by piece. And it's just a chamber piece. It's essentially two people inside a house.
Yeah.
And this relentless terror outside. And, it, you know, I won't even say what it turns out to be. I mean, it is, they're people. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's a reveal at the end of kind of what it is and what it was based on. And it's terrifying. It's
wow.
super terrifying.
Wow.
It's really, really well done.
Get scared, people.
ILS called Them. Mm. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I like The Strangers a lot. That's actually.
Yeah, this, I think.
There's so many. And I actually, one the movie lives in my head that it's not really a horror film, but it disturbed me. Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh, yeah. Michael Rooker.
Mm-hmm. It's like so. And I'm a true crime, like, lunatic. Okay. Like, I love stories of serial. I love it. But
yep.
I literally, that movie, like, took it over the edge for me. The realistic portrayal of that.
Yep.
It bothered me so much. I was like, oh, I can't. This movie's really too hard to watch. So they did a good job of telling that story because it is like really uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And that's not really a horror movie. That's just a, yeah. It's like a real story, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously sometimes that's what they are. Like Silence of the Lambs sometimes doesn't get considered, but I consider that horror. I mean, there's.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a thriller in my mind.
There's so much tension in there, too. I mean, you're talking about a serial killer. You're talking about, I mean, there's still horror.
It's like kind of
involved.
Saying Jaws is horror. I don't really think of it that way either.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but they skirt
the
lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of horror and thriller. If you go through the Netflix browsing, it's
exactly.
like, what am I looking at? That's
you
not
could,
a horror film. Yeah.
You could argue. You know?
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah.
All right. So I was sitting here thinking about we're talking about the very first thing that scared us.
Okay.
And I'm actually thinking the very first movie that actually, like, I remember, like, coming home from school and being, like, scared.
Right.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. The very first one that I was, like,
are you serious?
Just
Roald
because.
Dahl.
No, I get it.
You don't, those kids don't come back. Like,
no, you're right.
They actually, like, in the new one, in the Tim Burton one, you see them all at the end a little different. But in the 70s one. Like,
They don't return.
They're dead.
No, I think the first movie I saw in the theater was Snow White, and that movie is twisted. Some of these Disney movies are twisted. I was talking to someone about Snow White. I'm like, let's talk about Snow White. Snow White, a woman who has to be the prettiest in the fucking land, okay? So she wants to kill another girl who is, like, prettier than her. So she sends a witch to get her heart in a box.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
I was going to say, read the actual fairy tale on which it's based. I mean, it is super dark. You're talking about where they have
it's so twisted.
Where their feet are like shredded by glass in it and stuff.
It's
I mean,
crazy.
It is so dark.
I know, and I was like scared of that. I was like, oh my god, what is that? The witch scared the shit out of me.
I came across a Grimm's fairy tale in my grandparents' attic in Wilmington one time, and they had like these compilation of actual Grimm's fairy tales. And I remember just kind of combing through some of them, and there are some of the most twisted minds in there, and they were parables for kids to not do something. And I'm like, well, you don't have to have to ask me to do it again because I'm not. Because holy shit, they were like, the repercussions for even stepping out of line were so dire. You're like, I'm never doing that again. I'm not going to pick up a cigarette. I'm not going to kiss a girl. I'm not going to do anything.
Do you think there's a theme of some horror films that are to scare kids from having sex ever? Because so many times people have sex. Like, I will be, and I hate to say this, Stella, she never listens, but we watched It Follows. And,
yeah, It Follows is that.
And we were laughing a lot of the time, so it was kind of like just jokey. But she was like, well, not interested in having sex now, that's for sure. And I'm like, I'm like, well, it's done
Friday
its job.
My job is done here.
Yep. Dropping the mic.
Let's have the
drop
talk.
The mic as a
first, we're going to put on It Follows, and then after that, we'll discuss.
And then I have some very serious diagrams of venereal disease I'd like to show
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Let me.
Not to mention, there's a part where that one kid's mother is the it, and it like has sex with him.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, like, wow, that was something. Yeah. I was like, that, to be killed by your own mother.
I watched it again the other weekend.
Sex with you.
I totally forgot about that.
So
too.
Messed
like,
up.
A little Oedipal message in there. Yeah. Yep.
I forgot about the mom rape. Yeah. Mom raping the boy.
Yeah.
I forgot about
and there was
that.
Always like one boob out, which I didn't understand. Just one.
Which
something about just having one boob out is really terrifying, apparently.
And whatever this demon thing is, it's just dick. It's like just, it's like that's how you're gonna kill him. Like that's a bad way to go.
Yeah. Man, I might need to do. Me and you will come back and talk about It Follows. But I think we need to maybe end this party and this discussion.
Sure. Sure thing.
As you can tell, we love horror movies. We have a lot to say. There's so much more out there than you know. People that have underestimated the genre of horror films. Please join us.
Right? Yeah.
Welcome
to the cult.
Come on in. It's nice in here.
It's a good cult.
It's a great cult.
It really is.
Yeah. It's a community. We all have like lots to share. But really, I hope you guys are going to watch lots of scary movies this month. Please come out. If you're local, come out to the... Is it called This Is Halloween?
This is Halloween.
This is Halloween
at Hudson Fields and join us. I will be there. I will probably dress up like something. I won't tell you what it is yet, but now I'm excited to dress up for Halloween. Do you guys have anything else you want to share before I close the door?
This is great.
I creak the door closed on this.
This could be a five-parter as far as I'm concerned.
I apologize for all the peeking I did in this.
It's fine. It's scary.
I'm sorry.
Well, I think we should make this a regular, so maybe we'll do this like once a month.
As long as Rob wears pants.
Okay, fine.
Again, eyes up here, man. Just saying.
I haven't looked at him the entire time.
I know it's glorious.
You got the monitor that's blocking your view.
Just stay behind my screen and we'll be fine. Okay.
Who's ever been watching the live feed with on my phone? It's just by my pants.
Right.
Just...
Well, thanks, guys, for being here. And
is that a
absolutely.
Good ending? Yeah, I feel like it's good. Ending.
And everyone, watch scary movies.
Watch scary movies.
Goodbye.
Raw.